Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
We're ripping it with Ryan. 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken joining us. Nolan McGraw on the other side of the glass. Orioles lose yesterday to the Twins 5-2. It's Feature Artist Friday. It's the Eagles, by the way. Send your request. Plazaport text line. Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. Tons of hits, no shortage of songs to choose from, so get him in here. All right, look, Nolan wants to fire Brandon Hyde. That's donezo.
Well, what happened? What did I miss?
He wants him gone. He said it yesterday.
We're doing this out the gate?
Yeah, right, why not?
All right,
I mean, you would have dissected yesterday. They were 2-for-13 with runners in scoring position.
Right.
Yeah, that's like broke a record. No, he wants him gone. He wants dramatic changes and all of that stuff.
Right.
Elaborate.
Yeah, well, now look, I mean, I feel like I've made myself perfectly redundant, but it's okay. I'll go one more time.
One more time for me, Nolan.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Ryan's in here. He didn't hear yesterday.
I've reframed it every day, so yes. I'll reframe it again.
Picasso over here.
It's not personal with Brandon Hyde. Firing Brandon Hyde is not to punish him for a poor performance or anything like that. This is about searching for an opportunity to potentially turn things around this year. We already have a fan base, a media that's already referring to the season as done, a lost cause. We're punting. We're not even at Memorial Day yet. What opportunities do you have to potentially spark a turnaround? Now, this next part is where a difference of opinion could come in. I view Brandon Hyde as expendable. I don't view him as an essential piece to the team. We have our gripes, you know, you can complain about bullpen decisions, not sticking up for your players. There's still no actual defense of what he does. I continue to ask on a daily basis, 410-583-1057, if someone would like to tell me what exactly Brandon Hyde does. What is the strength of his skill set as a manager? All defense of Brandon Hyde boils down to, well, it's not his fault. He doesn't set the lineup. He didn't build the team. He doesn't do this. He doesn't have control over that. Well, what do you do? That's what I want to know. And I'm still waiting on an answer because every time I say it, I hear giggling and chuckling and deflecting.
Yeah. You're throwing this at me?
We're having fun.
We're having fun. Please elaborate on your response and your rebuttal to what Nolan said. Unless you want to agree, then I'll laugh some more. They're not firing him.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing.
Maybe.
And you know, I talked to Mike Elias this week on the Ryan Ripken Show. I know we'll dive into all of that later of what he said and more opinions. But here's the thing. This is what I think is going to happen. Again, what I think is going to happen. We're not going to see any move unless the Orioles go and lose 9 or 10 in a row. And then they fall further into this depths here, and Nolan's going to be screaming from the rooftops here at 105.7 The Fan. Maybe then you'd make a move. But right now, I'm looking at the earliest is mid-June. And part of it was that, all right, the expanded playoffs, you're getting some guys healthy, and you still have this month of May here where you hope to see some life, right? So that's why I'm saying mid-May, I wouldn't expect any move. If it continues on, you're going to have to do something just because you don't want this to continue to carry over. Now, the one thing I'll say is, who would manage? Like, it's an honest question.
Well, I guess Buck Britton's the chosen
one. But would you really put Buck in that situation? Like, for me personally, Buck's first year as a big league coach, Hey, Buck, come to a situation now where everyone's just ticked off, and now you're going to be the manager. I only make him a manager if you are completely out of it, no chance, because if you're still in it, this is your first chance, and I don't want that to diminish what Buck could be in the future. So you have Robinson Chirinos as your bench coach. And I would say this is a way different conversation, Nolan, if Freddie Gonzalez is still here, the Orioles' recent bench coach. Why?
Mm-hmm.
He's a big league manager. He's there. So if you want a real turnaround for a team, don't you want a guy that's kind of been around baseball for a while, been there, done that? I'd say the same thing with the Toronto Blue Jays. Who's their bench coach? You guys want to take a guess?
Don Mattingly,
right? So if I'm the Blue Jays and you're going to can Schneider, Don steps in and you don't put a young coach in a bad position. So that's where I'm at. But what I will say about this Orioles team, it's a bad brand of baseball. It's not complimentary. You do one thing right, you do two other things wrong. Yesterday was a perfect example of what happened there. Dean goes out there and gives you everything you could ask for. I mean, heck, the Orioles for the last six games, their pitching, starting pitching, hasn't been the problem. But they only won one of those last six games on a five-game skid. And something's going to have to give, though, Nolan, if the losing continues.
That's a fair point. But Buck Britton, it's not like he's a complete stranger. I mean, he came up with these guys.
And as Ryan knows, he's managed a lot of them, as you just said.
Right.
I'm going to harken back to 1968, if you don't mind.
Take us back.
Hank Bauer managed the Orioles to the 1966 World Championship.
Mm-hmm.
1967, they kind of flatlined. Frank Robbins got hurt. Jim Palmer got hurt. They had a lot of injuries. 68, they started slowly. The Tigers were off and running. They would wind up winning the World Series. But they brought a guy up from the minor league system to be the new first base coach. His name was Earl Weaver.
Mm.
So they bleep canned old Hank Bauer in the middle of the season. Earl Weaver took over, and Orioles wound up winning 90 games that year. No wild card back in that. And then, of course, next year they won 109, 108, 101, and we all know the rest is history. So it's not unprecedented for this sort of thing to happen. And it's not like Earl had a ton of minor league managerial experience, mm-hmm. but very limited major league coaching experience.
And I love Buck, by the way. Like, Buck is one of my guys because I was actually on the team. He had his first managerial opportunity in 2017 playing for the Delmarva Shorebirds. You know, like, actually 2018. I apologize. So, recently, it's only been 7 years he's been a manager of a ball club. And the reason why I don't dismiss that he couldn't be a manager, I just would hate for him to be put in a situation where there might need to be, again, I hate the what-if games. I know you guys like to play this, knowing it's one of your favorite ones.
That's right.
But if we're going like a month or two down the road and say the Orioles are 20, 30 games under, like you say it is bad.
Whoa.
I hate saying it because I thought what I heard here, but I realized. Anyway, I would hate for Buck Britton's first real opportunity to be in a situation where you know you're going to have a lot of philosophical changes next, if that makes sense. Because let's just face it, if the Orioles fall flat and they have to either reconstruct their lineup, maybe bring in a new coaching staff, I want to make sure that Buck Britton's not going to be put in a position to prove himself right now.
We're going to hear from Mike Elias as he was on the Ryan Ripken show, basically admitting the flaws of the roster are on him. So how could he fire the manager when he's basically admitted, I put this together? And you want him to create? We used the chopped analogy, the cooking show. Here's a tree, here's a fire hydrant, here's a bowl of sugar, and here's some chocolate sauce and a quail. Make me something delicious to eat. Right now, Brandon Hyde's on Chopped. Maybe more ways than one.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Benny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Benny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We're ripping it with Ryan here on Fridays, as we do every week from noon to 2. Wizard Walt Williams talks about the NBA playoffs. Bottom of the hour, get back to your phone calls. We'll complain about the Orioles together. Ryan, always the voice of reason. I'm looking at the Orioles opening day lineup, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot different than the one we're going to see tonight in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that and more, not to make excuses for him, because I don't want Nolan to start giving me dirty looks for dismissing his Let's Fire Bryant, Brandon Hyde, and all that. But let's count some money. It's Mother's Day. You know, moms are never cheap. Neither are wives, as Ryan's about to find out.
Yeah.
Ed will do a little buy or sell over there.
Oh, God, that's me.
Yeah.
What am I doing here?
That's right. Brandon Hyde says
the lights
hello.
Are on. The lights are bright.
Hyder's well, like, what's up? Yeah.
Hey, I just got unlucky there. It's not my fault. All right. Start with the NASDAQ here. It's in the red. Down 26
good.
Points. S&P 500 down 6. Dow Jones also down 112. My goodness. Under Armour, well, it's down about 4 cents. And DraftKings, hey, we got to end on a positive. They are up $1.08. Now, you're going to love this first topic here. Yesterday, we learned that the Pirates fired their manager, Derek Shelton, after another disappointing start to the season. Pittsburgh has cultivated talent over the years, but never finished with a winning record during his tenure. Manager firings, not unprecedented, actually pretty common. But this early in the year, to your guys' point, that's a different story. Only three managers have been let go before the All-Star break since 2018. Oddly enough, all of them happened in 2022. The Phillies were one of those teams, went on to reach the World Series that year. Blue Jays, they waited till after the All-Star break that year to fire their manager at the time, but also made the playoffs. Buy or sell, Ryan, we will see at least two more in-season firings before the end of the year. This doesn't have to do with Hyde at all, it's just in general. Around the league. Potential candidates for looking for names. Bud Black. I mean, how much?
They've already hired his replacement.
Right. Well, he's been there like a decade.
Clint Hurdle's on the bench now.
He's back. I'm buying, though, yes. I think we're going to see two more. No one. It just seems like the teams now, if they're ready to make a move, they're not going to always wait till the end of the season. I mean, quite frankly, for Shelton, I thought he was a guy. And not that I think it's necessarily right for Shelton, because the Pirates, infrastructurally, they got issues, they didn't spend, but they have guys on their team. Like, their rotation is supposed to be really good. And right now, they're 14 games under 500 with a 5-16 record against teams over 500. And the difference with, like, comparing Brandon Hyde to Shelton, Pirates haven't done anything any year, at least Brandon Hyde, it's been 3 years in a row. But I think the seat's going to get hot for certain people. Not surprised. But I think you're right. Teams are going to wait till later in the season, but I think at least two more will go.
Over to the NBA, Kristaps Porzingis, he's been limited so far in this series against the Knicks. A mystery illness is what it's being called, but maybe that sickness has impacted his head a little bit, because he delivered a gem of a quote following their Game 2 loss. Said, quote, in a way, kind of takes the pressure off of us. If you check the odds, maybe the Knicks are now favorites to win. With our backs against the wall, we have nothing to lose. Bob, are you buying or selling that perspective there from the Zinger?
I'm selling that 1,000%. You're coming in here as the higher seed, the better team.
Mm.
And now the pressure's off you. You lost two at home. You're going to Madison Square Garden. The pressure is nothing but on you. Best case scenario, you win two there, which they're not going to do. They're going back home down 3-1, if they're lucky. Zinger, what's he got, like fever dreams or something that's killing him? How about stop missing 75 threes in the first two games, and you become an asset to them offensively? That was stupid. Dumb, man. They are favored in Game 3, by the way, Boston.
We'll go back to baseball.
No pressure on them.
Sticking around, right? Sticking around here in the AL East. Rafael Devers, this has popped up here again recently. His initial refusal, remember this back in spring training, wanted to move him off of third base. It was a big talking point at the time. He ultimately had to settle in as a DH and let Alex Bregman play third. But now after the Tristan Casas injury, Devers says that he was approached by team executive Craig Breslow about potentially filling in at first. And once again, he's putting up a fight. The other day, spoke through a team interpreter, basically said that it's not fair to have him change position midseason. They already told him in spring that his glove was essentially no good. That's why he's DHing. So why do you want me to play the field now, especially a new spot? Buy or sell, Ryan, Devers is right. It would be counterproductive for him to play first.
Oh, man. I'll sell that in the sense of I think it is. You need someone to fill the void, right? I don't know if that's necessarily going to be Devers, but if you're looking at your options, why not explore if a guy can play? Now, I want to make one comment, though. In Rafael Devers' defense, if you've never played a position, and I know people go, hey, all you got to do is catch the ball over there. I'll tell you, tell me which infielder you like watching around, and we're going to go look at their first baseman. And typically, those great infielders, they have one heck of a first baseman that can clean up the mess, right? So for Devers, you don't know how to play that position. That could be a problem. But now let's flip it to the other side. If he can learn, you can learn quickly at that position. And let's just face it, you put his bat in the lineup and it frees up another spot. That would be beneficial to Boston. So even though I kind of lean in the middle, I'm selling that. If Devers can be open to it, it ultimately probably can help Boston.
And didn't he basically tell Breslow, go do your job and bring in a new first baseman?
Right, yeah.
Paraphrasing, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, our last topic of the day, also in
baseball.
What a
team player.
Right, the Orioles. We just got done with this three-game series against the Twins. Got a taste of their pitching staff. Really talented pitching staff there in Minnesota. It's been their strong suit in recent years. Just one playoff appearance in 2023 to show for it. The offense, however, not as consistent. Pretty lackluster again this year. Bottom half of the league in run production, average, homers, walks, pretty much every stat category. Meanwhile, pitching, 7th in ERA, top 5 in strikeouts. But buy or sell, Bob, the Twins pitching staff will be good enough to carry them to a postseason appearance despite the poor offense.
I'm going to soft buy it. They're going to need some contributions from the bats. Royce Lewis is back, but how long? I mean, he's had some injury problems. Buxton, as great as he is, he tends to hit the IL himself. Correa, they need him to kind of pick up the pace a little bit. Larnick's got potential. What, he teammates with Adley at Oregon State. They need others to contribute to the cause. And by the way, Baldelli, because they won 5 in a row, just sweeping the Orioles up their cause. As what Bordy said a couple days ago, Orioles are slump busters. For the other team, gets them out of the slumps. Baldelli was probably kind of a hot seat guy, because that's a tough division. But I'll soft buy the pitching will be good enough to carry them, but they need a little help, because if they fade, maybe the Pablo Lopez's of the world become attractive to real contending teams coming up around the trade deadline.
Yeah, the Twins, it's a tough division, but I'd argue right there, their starting rotation with Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, they can make some noise, but they have been offensively challenged throughout the years.
When we come back, ripping it with Ryan, we're going to talk to the Wiz, Walt Williams, about the NBA playoffs. Golden State, they lose last night. They're going to be without Curry, at least it looks like, for the next couple of games. Could that mean doom for them? And the Zinger says, no pressure on Boston. Hey, we lost two at home. We're favored on the road in game three. We got them just where we want.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And joining us now to talk about that guy that played in the NBA playoffs on multiple occasions, Maryland legend, of course, our friend. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome in the one and only Wizard, Walt Williams. Walt, what's happening?
How you doing, brother?
I'm all right, man. Say hi to Ryan Ripken, Walt.
What's going on, Walt?
What's going on, Ryan? How you been?
I've been great, man. Great talking to you.
All right, Nolan talked about a clip here. We'll start with the Celtics and Knicks, where the zinger, Kristaps Porzingis, was like, you know, and he's been sick, non-factor basically in the series. Well, the pressure's not on us. Now we can, you know, relax. I mean, they lost two at home. They missed 75 threes. They're favored, Walt, in game three on the road. I would think, if anything, there's more pressure on Boston than there was before the season even started. So as a former player who played in the playoffs, what's his mindset with that comment? Maybe that NyQuil's just kicking him in the ass a little bit too hard. You know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah.
you want to make sure people are comfortable out there and they're not anxious. So you make comments like that. But, I mean, of course, the reality is that right now, I mean, they have a lot of pressure on them to get this win tonight. They go down 3-0, it's virtually over, you know. And so I would imagine that, you know, it's a still a probability, a pretty relatively high probability that, you know, the Celtics can still pull this out. They have the better roster. They are the better team. And so, and they had commanding leads throughout both of these games. And so it's just about the play just being more consistent and being aware of when they're going through lulls and being able to make adjustments through those periods. I'm not suggesting that they just change their whole style of play, but you have to make adjustments along the way because it's shown that they can't consistently shoot the ball from the three-point line all game and beat this Knicks team.
Now, the other Eastern Conference series in the semifinals, the number one seed, Cleveland, they lose two at home. By the way, they're favored in game three at Indiana, where the Pacers are outstanding. Mitchell had 48 in game two. No Mobley, no Garland. We get all that. But they gacked away a seven-point lead in 40 seconds. Couldn't get an offensive rebound to save their lives. So Mitchell, usually going back to his Utah days, his team's come a cropper in these semifinals. So we talk about pressure. What about the Cavs going to Indiana, who got that conference finals playoff experience last year, going through the Knicks? Who's in more dire straits, Boston or Cleveland right now?
I would say Boston. You know, Cleveland is a team that's has some injuries. And so you're talking about Mobley, Hunter, Garland. Those are serious blows to a team. And so you understand why the Cavs are down. And Indiana Pacers team, they have so much depth. They have so many guys that can hurt you. You can't even zone in on any of them. And Haliburton's a great fit for all of that because he's a guy who's a focal point guy, but he's willing to distribute the ball and elevate the level of all the guys he's playing with. So I don't, you know, if the Cavs are not coming back healthy, to me, it's a chance that the Pacers will be able to beat them. And to me, that's a high probability. I think that the way Donovan Mitchell played, I mean, of course, he's sensational out there. But I think just Indiana has too much to just have Donovan Mitchell have to take over games. So to me, I think Mobley and Garland, those guys have to get back in order for at least two of them have to get back so that the Cavs can have a legitimate chance. I think that if two of those out of those three guys can get back healthy and out there contributing like at least some semblance of what they've been doing all season, I think the Cavs can turn that series around as well.
So, Walt, switching over to the Western Conference here, and similar that the Cavs, you know, being a top team, and now they're dealing with the pressures and trying to get over that hump. In the Western Conference, the Thunder, right, are a squad that, I mean, look, they are talented, they're young, and they are a force. They were a force throughout the regular season, winning 68 games. But now you're playing a Denver team where they stole a game in game one, even it up here, and obviously SGA for the Thunder, one of the best players in the league. But talk about a young team that, yes, they might be the more talented group, but going against a very veteran-savvy team in Denver, how do you try to keep the young nerves down and try to get over that hump? Because the Thunder, talent-wise, they really should be the team that represents the Western Conference.
Well, I think with OKC, those guys, man, they are a very, very good defensive team. I think that's where they hang their hats. They get a lot of deflections, get out in transition, and that leads to transition points. And that when you're playing in that type of environment, that tends to give you confidence. Your confidence grows when you get up and down. You're getting deflections, you're getting steals, and you're really feeling good about what you're doing on the defensive end. I think that they are threat to do that every game. And so Denver has to be able to weather those storms and keep the game close. I think when it comes down to the stretch and you have Joker, and Murray, that's when you could put OKC in compromised positions, because, of course, SGA going to do his thing. But who is that second guy? You saw in the first game, Hogan had a chance to seal the game, but he couldn't do it. So I don't think you lean on him as the second guy. Jalen Williams, I don't know. He hasn't been consistent enough. So it's just about if you can bring it, make the game close at the end, and then put that pressure on that second guy to be able to come through. I think that's where you can get put OKC in compromising positions. But at the end of the day, I don't think that's going to happen. I think defensively, I mean, they are all over the place. And the thing about it is, they are doubling down on Joker. They're digging on his dribbles, making it tough for him. And then when he passes the ball out, their rotations, they are getting to the shooters so quick that they can't even get off open jump shots. So what OKC is doing on the defensive end, I think that can be consistent. And I think that will continue. So I don't see Denver being able to win both games at home.
It's a tall task there. And I guess some people would also say it's a tall task in the other Western Conference matchup with the Warriors down Steph now. Now, we're talking about guys where it's a second option. Jimmy Butler has stepped up over the years. But they are facing a Wolves team, and the Ant-Man is doing his thing. In your mind, right here, there's no doubt the impact of losing a Steph Curry. Do you think the Warriors can still pull something off here? And with a guy like Jimmy now having to lead that group, can they stay afloat against the really talented Timberwolves squad?
Nah, I don't think so. I think if you don't have Steph coming to your table, I think that significantly hurts several aspects of the game. You know, when he's running around off screens, you have to show him so much attention. That gets other guys open and make the game easier for other guys, even without Steph having the ball in his hands. You're talking about a person like Draymond Green. If he doesn't have a Steph Curry out on the floor, being able to carve up the offense, giving him the ball and finding him in position, slashing to the basket, taking advantage of the attention that's shown to Steph and getting other guys flowing. When you don't have that element, I think that even Draymond Green's effect on the offense and then his ability to pass the ball, I think that goes down. Now I just think offensively they don't have enough to bring to the table. I think these young kids, I don't think Golden State will be able to handle them like they did in that first game defensively. I think a part of the Warriors' defensive prowess is the pressure that they can put on you offensively and being able to shoot the ball and make several threes in a row and have those moments where they can just pour it on. And I think that intensifies what they're going to do on a defensive end. When you take that element away on the offensive end, I think that also brings down what they can do on the defensive end. So I don't see them being able to – I think it'd still be tight because, I just don't think that Minnesota, they have a lot of young guys that they depend on that are not as consistent as they need them to be. So I think it'd be tough games. But I think at the end of the day, Minnesota will pull this series out if Steph's not able to get back. And you're talking about hamstring injuries. That's not like you're hurt. Mm-hmm. That's an injury that if you step out on the court, you can significantly take it to another level in terms of the injury that you already have. So hamstrings are very tricky. They can easily go to the next level and have you out for weeks, and so it's important that they take their time and have the evaluations that they need to make sure that he's okay, because they cannot withstand him missing significant amount of time.
Wal Williams here on the Fan. Wiz, before we let you roll, I've already talked to my psychic today, and she said I'm going to need a Bloody Mary tomorrow morning. And if I'm looking for a Bloody Mary, I'm sure I'm looking for a pretty cool vodka to go with it, right?
Absolutely, man. Clutch Vodka is your choice. You know, premium vodka. It's gluten-free, no sugar, no carbs. We organically filter it, so that's the separator from all of those other vodkas. You'll be able to taste it in that smooth, crisp taste that we have. Follow us on www.clutchspirits.com to find out the closest locations near you that carry Clutch Vodka.
He's the Wizard, Walt Williams. Walt, always great to catch up with you. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you next week sometime.
Thanks, Walt.
All right, brother. Look forward to it.
There's Walt Williams. Everyone, we'll come back, reset for you, take your phone calls at 410-583-1057 next hour. Ryan Ripken had a chance to talk to Mike Elias. Going to hear some of that. Jeff Fletcher talks about the Angels, Orange County Register. No Mike Trout. No chance in the AL West. Get his thoughts there. I was going from my eighth grade to my freshman year in high school. Saw it at the Patterson. Awesome.
You are well-versed, Bob. I will add that
to my list. Stupid stuff that doesn't really mean... I mean, useless trivia, I'm your man.
You're up there.
You want me to build a log cabin? I can't help you. I'm still trying to figure out how to put a net on my 8-foot basketball hoop. I had to go buy a step stool because the one I had wasn't long enough. You know, being 5'10 height challenge, you know what I'm saying? Probably shrinking.
Okay, yeah, wait. 5'10. Come on. Height challenge. People would kill to be 5'10.
And I am muscular and handsome.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I don't have any teeth. Play school hoops had a net.
This is a real one. I bought a brand new hoop. It took me forever to put it. My cousin did most of the heavy lifting, literally. But then I realized, like, I can't reach it. So I had a step stool where I changed light bulbs in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't reach it, so I had to go buy one. It takes me up to 9 feet. So I'll be hanging a net when I get home. Or my wife will come home and see me laying unconscious in the backyard.
One or the other here.
It's probably going to end poorly in some capacity. Like yesterday in Minneapolis when the Orioles went 2-for-13 with runners in scoring position. Brandon Hyde, Nolan wants him gone. They stink. Let's be honest. What do they do? One thing they do well. We'll get into that next hour. But right now, let's go to Churchville. It's Ripping It with Ryan. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw. John, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. Good. How are you doing?
Hey, good. So I think it's time for Hyde to go. If Hyde isn't responsible for the team on the field this year, he wasn't responsible for the fielding of the team the past couple seasons that won. Real pressure lies on Elias. I think Ryan said it best, that there was no complimentary baseball, and there hasn't been, because Elias hasn't drafted guys like that. He's drafted for power and speed, and those two things are not winning games for us. We don't have guys that are hitting for average. I know that's an antiquated thought, but guess what? You need three or four guys on your team that are going to be able to hit and get on base, and we don't have them. That's all I got, boys.
All right, John, thanks. Good call. Good points. Right to the point, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I like it. And look, I think that any move, though, for Hyde, and we talked about it in the previous segments, I don't think that the Orioles will relieve him of any duties unless this team goes on a bender of a losing streak here and they lose 10 or 12 in a row. I think the earliest move is mid-June just because of, you know, what I've heard and what I've seen. And I'm not saying that that's, you know, what should happen. That's what I think will happen. But one thing that I do want to point out for Brandon Hyde, he is the captain of the ship. He has to try to set the tone for it. But one thing that if it's in defense, and it's with some of the managers here, because I look at it, when Buck Showalter got canned from the Orioles right there, is Buck Showalter a bad manager?
No.
No. What did the team go out there and play poorly? Was the team maybe not up to the standards it needed to be to contend that year? Absolutely. So there's a combination there. With Brandon Hyde, with these young guys, it's his job to find a way to best utilize them, but also these players, they got to figure out on their own how to continue to move forward. Because last year, the Orioles, they could have very well beaten the Royals. And if they beat the Royals in the playoffs, Bob, we're not even having this conversation. Like, that's the honest truth in my opinion. The Orioles win a playoff series one of the last 2 years. We're not having the conversation. The first year, you could say, okay, Brandon Hyde, you made some decisions. Last year, you had your stars up at the dish. Bases juice, Santander, unfortunately with Kowser, Adley Rutschman. You had more opportunities than the Royals, and you don't take care of it, right? Is that a Brandon Hyde issue or is that a player coming through in a situation? So that's where I want to lie on that discussion. These guys have to get out of their own head, and clearly that's been a huge problem. What's the numbers for runners in scoring position? You know that off the top of your head?
About 90. Team average is less than the Mendoza line. They were 2 for 13 yesterday.
And I guess for my mind.
And one of them, they didn't even score.
Yeah, and I've heard Brandon Hyde specifically and out loud say, find a way to put it in play. Like, I've heard him say that. So is that all on Brandon Hyde? No, but he is. I do understand, John, where you're coming from. A new voice, a new jolt. You know, that's something people want to see.
But we talked about this earlier, Ryan, before you got in. They got rid of Borsholte and Fuller.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Borsholte's back in Minnesota, or Fuller. Whichever one was with the Twins is now back with the Twins.
Fuller's with the Sox.
Now you got Cody Ashe comes in, and there's a couple of – there's like three, literally three hitting guys. If anything, they were bad with runners in scoring position in the second half of last season. 2 years ago, they were the best team in baseball in that category.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you fire – or shake up, air quotes, the hitting coach room when they're not even 3 months on the job here?
And I think the point that I also want to throw out here is that some of those hitting coaches were getting scapegoated last year. And hey, look, the product, you went through the season, you made a change. But then you're going into this season and you're having similar results. So what stayed here so far? Is it the hitting coaches or the players that have been here? And this is not a knock on any of the guys. I just try to look at it from a sense, if I'm in the locker room, when things don't go right and you don't get along with a hitting coach, or you don't have a guy where you can bounce your ideas off of, it affects you. There's no doubt about it. But as a player, your responsibility is, how do I figure it out? And here's the last thing. Didn't the Rangers just relieve their hitting coach, right?
Yeah.
Brett Boone now is in as a new hitting coach. They were 17 and 18 after that. Well, guess what? They've been playing Boston. They've then just, they're 1-2 over those last games. And if I'm looking at it so far, trying to pull up the schedule, I know they got skunked the other night.
They're 0-17 in their last two games with runners in scoring position.
So I'm not saying that it won't work, but also you're looking at it doesn't mean that you make a change that it's going to be the right decision, or at least out the start.
And not to defend Hyde, Nolan. Some point, the players have to be responsible for their actions, take accountability. Hey, Dean Kramer, we played the cut. You know, I can't worry about what's happening there. I got to do my job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kyle Gibson gives up 17 homers in the first inning. I mean, Gunnar Henderson still has to grab a bat.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you have to go over there and take three strikes and walk back to the dugout. You still have to do what you have to do.
Yeah, we call out the players here.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, both sides. Both sides. And I'll say in closing here on the Hyde stuff.
Yes.
If the Orioles turn things around this year with Brandon Hyde as the manager, I will be at the front of the line to say I was wrong and I'll eat crow. This isn't personal with me. I just view this as a opportunity to turn things around.
It's not personal, Sonny. It's only business. Tom Hagen and Sonny Corleone. And then Michael stepped in and said, no, we got to kill them both. And he shot the two guys at the restaurant. Spoiler alert if you've never seen The Godfather. It's Vinny and Andy, 105.7 The Fan, ripping it with Ryan. Bob, Andy, Ryan, Ripken, Nolan McGraw. We'll come back here from Mike Elias as he spoke with Ryan. And we'll take your phone calls. You run a vent, we got your vent here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.